Hello and welcome to the Every Child Every Day podcast. I'm your host, Rob Arnold, superintendent of Amherst County Public Schools. As we approach the winter months and the possibility of delayed starts and snow days, we wanted to do a podcast on our inclement weather policies. Covering over 400 square miles of land and 500 miles of road, Amherst County Public Schools includes a very diverse topography, including the Blue Ridge Mountains in our western half. Because of these differences, Amherst County Public Schools has a very different and complicated task when it comes to deciding school closures and delays. Joining me today is Dr. William Wells, Assistant Superintendent of Schools, comes on to talk about what goes into making these difficult decisions. Show, Dr. Wells.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
All right. So this is a timely podcast today. We are recording this on Friday, November 1st, as we have just had our first delayed opening. We started 2 hours late, and in fact, one of our elementary schools was actually closed, Madison Heights Elementary. They did not get power until just recently. And so being that the winter months are fast approaching, and we felt like it would be important for our families and parents and our community to understand just what goes into some of these decisions. So we might even use what we did this morning to kind of help frame some of these questions. So Dr. Wells, if you would, describe to us the process that Amherst County Public Schools takes in determining whether school will be closed or delayed due to inclement weather conditions or even, in our case today, power outage.
Yeah, we start probably 2 to 3 days out before any storm event just by monitoring local forecasts with the National Weather Service and local forecasters in the area to make sure we are covering, we're prepared for what's coming up and just trying to get ready for that. On the time of the storm, you know, we look at forecasts. So, for example, if it was a storm tonight and we had school tomorrow and they were calling for a foot of snow tomorrow, it was pretty imminent. We would probably go ahead and make a decision this evening before waiting until tomorrow to make sure it's falling. But sometimes that's, we don't get that option, so we have to get up and start checking roads and making sure things are clear. So we talk to VDOT, Department of Transportation. We talk with local fire EMS, sheriff's office, dispatch to see what road conditions are and things are happening in the county. And then we go out and do a hands-on, so to speak, and drive around the county and check certain areas of the county. We have certain routes we drive just to get a good feel for what the roads are like, road conditions are like, and then we base our decision off of that. You know, I look at safety. I had kids that recently just graduated, and I would look at their driving ability and take that in consideration when we make these decisions because we want our students to be safe. So if we don't feel it's safe for our kids to be out there on the road or our buses to be on the road, we're going to take precaution.
So I just mentioned in the opening 500 miles of road. How do we actually, what time do you get up to start driving all of those roads?
This morning it was around 3 o'clock. And we knew the weather was going to be, wind was bad this morning. We knew trees were down across the area. My power was out as one of the folks in the area. So this one got up around 3, left the house around 3:30, and started driving some of our secondary roads in the county, and went through areas we know are prone to wind damage and some of the passes in the mountainous areas and checked some of those roads out that typically have trees down. We had some trees down in those areas. We talked to the sheriff's office and things, get reports of where trees may be down and VDOT and those things, and trying to check those areas out, see if those have been cleared. But if it's a snow day, typically we have one driver goes to the south and eastern part of the county, Madison Heights down towards the James River that way. And I have one that hits the Piney River area, Lowesville, back down in that area to 151. And then I go typically top of a long mountain on Route 60 and work my way back down to Amherst on some of the roads back through that area. And that gives us a good general idea of what it's like in the county.
Right. So a team of folks that are out prior to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Sir. Right.
Right. We're on the road usually around 4. If we know a forecast is out, calling for snow or inclement weather, so we are around 4 o'clock. We try to make a decision between 5 and 5:15 so we can let everybody know what's happening. Our first bus picks up about 5 minutes to 6. My bus drivers start reporting around 5:30 doing pre-checks and getting on the road to make the first run. So I'd like to have the decision made prior to them getting on the road if at all possible.
So you had said earlier, our hope is to make the decision the night before. That's really what we'd like to
be able to do
because it makes everybody's life easier. But there are occasions, and we, you know, last night, for example, we can't predict where trees are going to fall and onto what power lines they're going to fall or when a snow is going to start and how the temperature is going to turn early morning. And so we end up making decisions sometimes 5:15, 5:30, and try to get that out as soon as possible. So so once we make that determination, so you're out, you're getting all of that information, what do you do with that information?
Once I talk to everybody, we get a good idea for what the road temperatures are, the conditions are like. Typically, well, I call you and
I got that call this
let
morning.
You know my recommendation, and then we discuss from there, and then we start making phone calls to our social media folks and TV radio stations.
Yeah, so let's go over the way we notify the community of closure. Okay. So you said social media, so that means Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram.
What else do
school
we
email?
School email.
The messenger through the Power School system.
So that's a sign up service that parents and students would sign up to receive either emails from the school system, phone calls, and even text messaging.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And then we'll go forward from there to notify TV radio stations. TV is probably more accurate than radio sometimes because they can just scroll across the screen, but we do the radio stations as well, the local stations. I also call Amherst County Dispatch, let them know that we're going to be on a delay or close so they have their law enforcement officers are aware as well.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know one of the things that we did last year that was a first for Amherst County Public Schools was using social media. And one of the benefits of social media is how quickly we can get information out. And I think there were some folks last year that weren't ready to acknowledge that was true information. They were waiting for the phone call or the email from the school system. What people need to understand is that when we put in the information to our system to send out the email or the phone call, it's trying to contact 7,000 different numbers and emails and those kinds of things. And so that actually takes a little while. It could take 15, 20 minutes where we put a post on Facebook, it's out instantaneously.
Right.
So if you are seeing it on our social media accounts, you can trust that that is the correct information.
If it's on the ACPS sites, their official sites, so they'll be ones you'd go with. If it's somebody from home, you might not want to trust them. We also try to take pictures if there's areas that we know the roads are bad, just so people understand. Because sometimes, you know, Madison Heights might be a little warmer than up here on Amherst into the county back towards the mountains. So just bear with us. We're checking the roads, and there's times it's going to be snowing up on the mountain when it's not snowing in Madison Heights, but those kids still have to get home or to school. So we'll try to post pictures of those situations. People are aware of what the conditions are.
Yeah, that was beneficial last year when we saw that. So when people wake up and they see Amherst County Public Schools closed, code 1 or code 3, what does that mean? So help people with what that actually means.
For the folks who aren't working in the school system, if we're closed, kids stay home no matter what code we are. If we're code 1, the principals, custodians, all the folks that would sex teachers and cafeteria staff and bus drivers typically come to work. So we have the people who are in the buildings. If it's a code 3, we feel it's bad enough that no one should be on the roads. If we get a 2-foot snowstorm or an ice storm and the roads are just impassable, then we're going to call a code 3 and everybody stays home. But a code 1 typically will have our office staff administrators and things of that nature in the schools
so
working.
Like 11 and 12
month 11 and 12 employees. Month employees work, whereas our teachers and our bus drivers and our cafeteria staff would stay.
Okay, so when it is code one and these people report to school, when it's closed and students and teachers are not there, what typically is happening? I think maybe that is something that people might want to know.
Well, for custodial staff, if it's a, like, for example, some snow fell, but we feel the roads are good enough that we don't want kids on, but people can still travel a little bit, we'll be cleaning parking lots and making sure the sidewalks are clear and getting ready so the next day that once the roads do open up better, we can start school. If we don't have the parking lots clear and our sidewalks clear and our buildings ready to go, then it wouldn't do as much. We have to get those open so we can have kids come to school. So that's our main focus there. Once that happens, then we typically work on inside the buildings and making sure the inside the buildings are clean and using that time to do some touch-up work in the buildings with the custodial staff. Administrative staff, getting some paperwork caught up on, right, things of that nature. But our main push is making sure our sidewalks and parking lots are clear and ready so when we do open, then we can get the kids in safe.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some of the problems that we might experience, some things that might even be unique to Amherst County. And it's interesting because I was in Campbell County for 25 years, and I would always notice that, you know, even though neighboring school divisions, that more days were missed in Amherst County than they were in Campbell County. And so talk a little bit about the differences we have here, especially in Central Virginia.
Yeah. Well, if you go to the northwestern part of our county, the elevation gets up. We have students living above 2,000 feet elevation. So when you get to that elevation, the temperature is going to be about 5 degrees colder, 6 degrees colder than it would be in Madison Heights. In general, just because of the elevation changes. So that causes a big difference. So if it's 33 and raining or 34 and raining in Madison Heights, it could be 26 and snowing or ice up on top of Long Mountain. So that makes a big difference. As you found out last night, certain areas funnel winds a little more strongly. So certain mountain passes and certain areas, it'll funnel the wind, and actually the wind will be blowing harder there, which causes more tree damage and power outages. Also, up in the western part of the county, you have the elevation does cause flash flooding to be more of a problem. So we get some Piney River, Paddler River, Buffalo River, those streams and tributaries that feed into that sometimes will flood or flash flood. Last year, and I think it was September, we had the flood up on Piney River, which caused us to close school today because that area was about 15 feet above normal, and that caused us to have some issues. Couldn't get buses through, so we had to close school for that. So all those things make a difference, but the elevation and the terrain does play a big role in decisions we make just due to the temperature changes and the steepness of the terrain. I mean, even down by the James River, if you go down towards Greif and Riverville area, some of those areas in there, the roads aren't that flat. There's a lot of elevation changes in the roads, so even a little bit of snow down there makes a big difference in getting buses through safe.
So this morning, of course, we had a two-hour delay. We also use closing early. So imminent weather that might hit when buses are normally or students are normally going home. How does that process work? Because it's not as easy as saying, oh, we need to leave early.
Yeah. The closing early can be a difficult process because for us to close early, the high school typically, the secondary school is good at 2:45, elementary school is tip normally at 3:45. For us to close early, bringing people in and out, the two-hour early dismissal will be around a 1 o'clock dismissal. For us to do that, we have to start the process around 10:30, 11 o'clock, notifying bus drivers and so forth, which means we're looking at radar, weather forecast, and things of that nature to make sure that, you know, we're making the right decision or trying to make the right decision with the best information we have possible. So around 11 o'clock, we have to make that decision if we're going to close early or not, and then start notifying people and parents as well, because then they have to make issues with work and getting off work to come pick their kids up. So that all, we try to make that process as smooth as possible and as early as possible, but, you know, we still have to base it off what the forecast is saying. So I know last year we had to close early, and we saw snow coming through Kentucky, and We were like, well, if it stays together, we're going to be in trouble. If it doesn't, we're going to be embarrassed. But it stayed together, and we ended up getting kids home right before it started snowing.
Yeah.
So that was a good call last year. So we just try to look at the forecast models and make sure we're using that as much information as possible to make that decision. But you can't, if we decide to go dismiss 2 hours early, it's not something we can do at 1:30, 2 o'clock and say,
right,
we're getting out now.
We got to leave, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we have to actually have about a couple hours of time in there to get it to make.
Yeah. So some of the other, I guess, problems, and just this is just in our experience, is when you do make a decision, and it is based on forecasting. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, the forecasts aren't always correct. And so when we make our decisions, when you and I have these conversations, it is about a lot of times something that hasn't happened yet. And there is the risk of looking foolish that you've not come to school or you've gone home early and nothing happens. But I think in the end, and this is what you said at the beginning, our number one goal is to make sure students are safe. We certainly, the whole point is to have them at school to learn,
right,
but not at the expense of their welfare. And so I think that's important for community and parents to know.
Yeah.
It is not an exact science. If it were, the forecasters would be 100%,
right,
and that's not that is not happening. So it is very difficult to predict sometimes. But I think what we would like to be able to get across is to be patient with us. Like we say, our goal is to get that information out the night before, the day before, as soon as possible. But sometimes that is not possible, and so we will be making those decisions as soon as we can, but only when we feel comfortable when we're making them.
Yeah, I mean, if we know something's coming, if the forecast is for any type of falling weather during the winter, I'm usually out there checking on roads about 4 o'clock in the morning, just trying to get that information so we can make the best decision possible. What kills us is when the snow decides to start snowing about 6:15, and kind of puts us in a little bit of a bind right there. But our goal, again, is to make those decisions to ensure the safety of our students and our employees so everybody gets to have a safe commute to work and a safe commute home.
So would there be any advice to parents that kind of are weather watchers? What can they do to kind of help with this process?
Well, if they're very good at that, they feel free to email me and let me know, hey, I saw this. Or if there's a road that you know that when snow does start falling and you know an area is bad, you could notify us and we'll go check it out before, you know, especially once we've closed school and try to make a decision to get students back into school. Once a storm has hit, we try to hit all the roads, but there's some areas we may not go to. And if you know that road is not passable or you don't feel it's safe, just let us know. We'll go down and check it out before we make that decision.
And there are occasions where, like I said at the beginning, we have 500 miles of road,
right,
and we might come to school, and not every single mile of those roads is in fact completely clear. And so as a parent, you do have the option of, if you don't feel safe, you know, to make sure that, you know, if they're driving, for example, they can stay at home, but make sure you contact the
right
school, let
yeah
them know what's going on. And also there are some occasions when we might bring buses to certain areas, asking parents, especially more up in the mountainous areas, that if you can get your child to a certain place, then the bus can get there and bring them on in.
Yeah, we'll do emergency snow routes, so to speak, and we'll have pickup locations. So people sometimes Coffeetown area or back in Thrasher's Creek or back in that area, Piney River area, some of those back roads back up towards Little Piney, if we can't get the bus in, but the main roads are clear and have been out of school a few days, we'll ask them to bring them down to meet us. Or if a storm's hitting and we are getting them home and we know the road is bad, we can't get through there already because the snow's already started falling, we'll ask them to come down and meet us at a certain location and drop kids off there for them, just in the safety of the school, just because we can't get the buses up through there in a safe manner.
So we talk primarily, I think, about snow, ice,
yeah,
those kinds of things, that roads are not passable. This morning, however, it was less about passable roads. Well, the 2 hour late was about that, because we were getting trees out of roads and things like that. But we did close down one elementary school, and that was because the school did not have power. Now, areas or individuals could not have power, but we would still be going to school. We will close for power outages if a school doesn't have power.
So if a school is without power, that school will be closed. And if we get to a point where, you know, all of our schools are out of power, obviously, we're not going to have school. But just if one school is down, we will close that one school but keep the rest of the division open. That way, you know, students that are need the, you know, meals and need to eat, they can come to school, they can get a hot meal, they can get some food in their stomach, they can be in a warm building, especially in the winter when it's colder.
Yep.
So, it, you know, it's better to have them in the building than at home without power in some instances. If you live on a well, coming to school is good because you have your water, versus with my house right now with no running water, no electricity because power went out and the well is not working. So, yeah, that's the case. When we do get, we will keep the buildings open, have school, you know, if the neighborhoods are down but the school's open, we will have the schools, we will be open.
Does temperature ever impact, like, frigid temperatures, i.e. starting later because it's so cold?
Right. Yeah, when it gets down into the windshield dangers and the National Weather Service issues those advisories, then we look at that information to make sure we are doing what's best for the students. You know, having that sunlight makes you feel a lot better. So having that daylight in on it will make it better. So when you can, that extra degree or two might make a difference. But, yeah, so they have windshield advisories. We may go 2 hours late. If it's so bad that they say you shouldn't be outside at all, then we'll make those decisions based off the forecast. But, yeah, extreme cold could impact us. It usually doesn't get to that point around here. Unlike the Midwest and in the Great Plains area where it gets down 30 to 40 below zero. But if the wind chill values get down into the negative teens and negative 20s, then we'll make determinations based off of those
right,
as well.
Right, so that's something for folks to look for. As you can tell, it is a complex and a ever-moving process that we have. You know, I've mentioned to people when they ask me about the job of being a superintendent, one of the things that I think is most stressful is making that one call, whether you're in or out of school, because, you know, you are looking at the safety of children. You know, we want to be in school as much as possible, but we are looking at the safety of our students. And I think more than anything, on kind of on your behalf, we have people out looking at roads. We have bus drivers that give us information. We have safety organizations giving us information, National Weather Service giving. So we collect a lot of information before we make that one decision, that one difficult decision. And so I just reiterate that we want the best for your child. We want to keep them safe, but it is a difficult decision, and we just ask for patience, some grace sometimes, and we will continue to do our very best to get those decisions out as quickly as possible. But in the end, we want to make the right decision, and sometimes that requires a little more time. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to this?
No, I just ask that the people understand that this is it's not an exact science. We're out here doing the best we can, making these decisions. We have a little bit over 4,000 students in the division and 600 faculty and staff in the division. So we want to make decisions that, again, keep everybody safe so we don't put anyone in a dangerous situation. So, again, we want them to come back the next day. So if we miss a day or two of school, that's fine. We'll make it up. But I'd rather do that than to have something happen where one of our folks gets injured.
Yeah. And so it's the beginning of November. We certainly hope that we're not going to be dealing with snow and ice here in the short term. But we thought it would be important to get this information out now, because we have had snows come rather early.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure everybody is aware of what's going on. Our transportation department does a great job of getting information out and being flexible as well. So a lot of people working on behalf of the safety of children in Amherst County. And I want to thank you, Dr. Wells, for what you do. I want to thank you specifically for being out before the crack of dawn, looking out for the best interests of our children. I know that's not easy. But I think at this point, this is the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening, continuing to listen to our show. We hope that we're still providing you with valuable information that kind of helps you with navigating the world of school in Amherst County Public Schools. Until next time, we hope everybody has a great day.